Today we celebrate one of the most important days in the history of the world, that day on which Saul of Tarsus was heading to arrest and imprison and lead to death the Christians of Damascus, Syria. It was a journey of about 120 miles that he did. Such was his zeal. His zeal for what? His zeal for God, his zeal to keep God's people together, and he thought this Christian sect, adoring this carpenter who claimed to be the Son of God, was tearing Judaism apart. And so on he went with his youthful fire out of love for God and out of love for his one people. But then he was converted. First point about his conversion was what preceded it. His conversion happened because of the prayers of St. Stephen when he was being stoned to death. You remember, as he was in the pit and they were hitting his head with rocks and his bones and breaking them, rather than crying out, "Ow," rather than crying out, "Help me," he was crying out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And all of those who were stoning him to death, his murderers, his assassins, were laying their cloaks at the feet of a man named Saul, which was a sign that he was in charge, he was presiding over this execution. "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." He was praying just as Jesus prayed when he was dying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was praying for those who were picking up stones to kill somebody else, to be able one day to pick up hands and lead and guide people to God. That was what preceded Saul's dramatic conversion. What was his conversion? A lot of the times we Catholics can think that his conversion is like a typical conversion. If we were to talk about the conversion of somebody in our family, normally it means from a wicked life, from a bad life, from a life of sin, into a good life, to a holy life. That's not the case with St. Paul. Paul's conversion was from a false notion of the holy life to a true notion of the holy life. His false notion was what God wanted was for us ritually, like all the Pharisees, to observe to the absolute letter all the Mosaic law. And as long as we did that in our external deeds, that was all that God was really asking. Our hearts could be far from what we were doing, but as long as we just gritted it and obeyed, we were saved. We were pleasing the Lord. We were righteous. We were holy. After his conversion, when Jesus spoke to him, "Saul, Saul," called him by name, he recognized that we are saved not by external observance of all these works of the law, but that we are saved by the grace of God through faith. We're saved by Jesus, not by our own actions, but by his actions. And that was a total revolution for him. Throughout his entire ministry, he suffered quite a bit from what he called the Judaizing Christians. Those who believed in order to be a good Christian, you first needed to be a good Jew first. You needed to keep all the Mosaic law. We're not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about every adult male go get circumcised. We're talking about all the dietary restrictions. As if we eat pork, we're going to go to hell. This type of stuff. That's what he battled, for a true notion of the holy life. And the true notion of the holy life he himself would experience late in life when he would say, "It's no longer even I who live, for I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me personally and gave himself up for me." That the truly Christian life is to allow that life of Christ to reign within. And the only way that happens is through the crucifixion of our ego, the crucifixion of our attachment to the world, so that the world is crucified to us and us to the world, and Christ can rise from the dead within us. Now that brings us to our own conversion. A lot of us aren't living, thanks be to God, by his grace, a wicked life. We don't have to convert from sins and crimes. But a lot of the times we're living a defective notion of what God's asking of us. We have a false notion of our discipleship, false notion of holiness. There are many Catholics who are ritualistic and minimalistic. They think as long as they pray, pay, and obey, they go straight to Jesus' right side. As long as I pray for 3 minutes before I go to bed, as long as I get to Mass by the Gospel on Sunday and receive Holy Communion once a year, as long as I confess once a year, as long as I'm not sort of murdering anybody, I make it. That's all that God wants of me. In the meantime, I can just watch Ellen DeGeneres as much as I want on television. False. Many people need to be converted from this. Others are legalistic in their approach to the faith. Just tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. But don't ask me to love anybody. Especially don't ask me to love that despicable neighbor of mine who has made himself my enemy. We're called to convert from that. Others of us are called to convert from a lazy Christianity. A Christianity in which basically we do what pleases us rather than what pleases the Lord. In which we love the Lord far less than a loving husband loves his wife, or a loving wife loves her husband or her family. Many of us are needing a conversion from our sense that the Lord's not asking us to do the apostolate. The Lord's asking Father to do the apostolate. I'm not called to bring people to Christ. I'm not called to know my faith well enough so that I can engage in conversation with my relatives, so that I can engage in conversation with my friends. No, that's somebody else's task, not my task. We're called to convert from that. St. Paul, of course, once he encountered the Lord Jesus, he recognized that he couldn't keep him to himself, that he had to share the joy of that encounter with everybody. And he worked until the rest of his life, crisscrossing the ancient globe, going through shipwrecks, going through stonings, walking through marshes, hiking up incredibly tall mountains, being imprisoned several times, having been whipped 5 times with 39 lashes, and so much more, just so that others would hear the saving name of Jesus and be able to come into a continual encounter with him. What is the truly Christian life? What is the holy life? The holy life is one of a continued encounter with the Lord Jesus. If we are saved by grace, and grace is not a thing, but grace is a relationship between a creature and his creator, because that relationship isn't supposed to be a one-time deal, but it's supposed to be a continual thing, our conversion must likewise be continuous. More and more becoming open to Jesus' risen life reigning within us. I've mentioned to you before what the word conversion means and what its roots are. It involves 3 steps. The first is averting from whatever keeps us from the Lord. Second is adverting and turning toward the Lord. But then the third and the most important stage is converting. Literally, vert, turning, con, with the Lord. Turning with the Lord. Jesus turns to his Father, we turn with him to the Father. As Jesus turns to the hungry, we turn to the hungry. As Jesus turns in forgiveness to the person against whom we hold a grudge, we turn with mercy. That's the Christian life, constantly turning with Jesus. And that's a constant situation of growth and alignment. Today, as we come forward on the feast of the conversion of St. Paul, we remember one day it's supposed to be the conversion of St. Roger, St. Timothy, St. Norman, St. Jean, St. Veronica, St. Margaret Mary. Supposed to be the feast of our conversion. The same Lord who met Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus comes here on this altar to meet us. And he wants us to respond with the same faith with which Paul has before us. What are we waiting for?